Hey, you want that to go?
Now some time for some takeout stories that we're following this week. And if you live anywhere in the eastern portion of the country, you know that it is cold out. That's an inconvenience for those of us who have to put on heavier coats, but it's a serious problem for farmers in this part of the country. Bo Herndon's a vegetable farmer in Toombs County, Georgia. He's also president of the Georgia Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning.
So what is the temperature in Toombs County this morning?
It was 23 when I got in my pickup this morning, drove to the office.
And what is the normal temperature for this time of the year?
Anywhere around 35 to 40, something like that. But, I mean, you know, it's January, so we're going to get a certain amount of cold weather.
Okay, you grow cabbage, onions, and sweet corn.
And greens, turnips, collards, mustard, and kale, cabbage, all your leafy vegetables.
And when do you generally plant them, now?
We start planting our onions in September, and we plant greens all summer long that go through the winter. So we're planting something just about every 10 days.
Okay, so do you have plants that are sprouting up through the, or supposed to be sprouting up through the ground?
Yes, sir. We have greens trying to come up, but, you know, this is going to kill them. They won't make it.
No, there's nothing you can do to try and warm them up?
No, ma'am. We a lot of the farmers in Florida and down lower than we are, they try to put water on to try to save them. And it does help with some crops, but, you know, the crops that we grow, you know, water won't help. It just makes it worse,
I thought cabbage and kale, though, were pretty cold resistant.
Kale is pretty resistant. Kale and collards, but cabbage, it'll bust a head of cabbage and it'll turn it purple. So
yeah.
Cabbage can't stand when it gets below 30 degrees, you know, it starts.
All the water in there freezes.
Yeah, it puts a lot of hurt on that cabbage, that's right. And cabbage is full of water, so that just freezes and busts.
How serious of a problem is this? I saw this statement from the Georgia Department of Agriculture saying that if you don't get this planting done of onions by the end of the month, late January, that means that the onions won't be jumbo-sized by the time they need to get to the market. Is that only the only problem here, that we're not going to have jumbo-sized onions in our markets?
No, ma'am. There's a lot of problems with onions this year. We started getting a lot of rain. We've had about 13 inches of rain in the last 4 weeks, and we wasn't able to get in the field and do a lot of planting and when we normally need to be in there. And people scrambling now trying to get their onions planted and the ground's wet. Now it's freezing. And we can't get in but about a half a day of planting, so sometimes 2 and 3 hours for the last 2 or 3 days. So, you know, there might not be as many onions planted, but we can plant some onions now and make a pretty good onion, but it's just getting close to the time zone when we need to get them planted.
Well, Bo, good luck, and let's hope for good weather and warm weather there in Georgia. Bo Herndon's a vegetable grower in Toombs County and president of the Georgia Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association.
What about busted cabbages? I wonder what it must be like, a bumpy ride in his frozen fields trying to work that ground this time of year, 23 degrees this morning. Well, we spoke yesterday about the benefits of unpaid internships for adults, not young people, and we heard from a lot of people who didn't quite agree with this idea that an internship is actually a good way to advance or maybe even switch careers.
The way you were presenting it, it sounded like just an opportunity for big corporations to get cheap labor or free labor. It's a different world today and people do need to work, and I don't think big business should be taking advantage of that.
And Avi from Brooklyn emailed us, I think you need to ask how those with unpaid internships are paying the bills during their unpaid work. Only those with support from their families or partners can afford unpaid work for a sustained period of time. It's not reality for most people. And Martin at thetakeaway.org said, what if you're unemployed with no money saved, collecting unemployment and with no real financial support? Can you work an internship on unemployment? Well, who do we ask? Beth Koblenner, of course, who was with us yesterday. Beth Koblenner, Takeaway contributor. Let's put that to you. You heard some cynicism there. This is big corporations and also collecting unemployment. Can you still do it if you're an intern?
Yes. Unemployment benefits and regulations, well, it varies from state to state, and it's a bit of a gray area. But if you lost a job and take an unpaid internship, generally speaking, if you're actively looking for paid work and you're ready and able to work, you can make a case to collect unemployment benefits. And you could also argue that the internship is providing career-related training. So in most cases, it looks like you can get unemployment insurance.
All right, that's good news. What about this issue of corporations exploiting internships because they don't want to hire people? That was what two listeners said.
Right. Well, you know, the fact is, tech technically speaking, federal law does say that companies can't use unpaid interns as substitutes for paid employees. But the gist of it is that if the internship is truly benefiting the intern and not for the employer, it's more likely that it will be viewed as an okay practice. And practically speaking, you know, if the intern, if the, like, the Kelly who we had on yesterday, if she's learning skills and getting benefits, you know, he or she isn't likely to complain. So practically speaking, you know, although you might feel like, you know, you're being stuck by the man because you're, you know, having to work for free, the economic realities of today are we're dealing with right now, it's important to do the best you can. And internships, if they're temporary, you won't get sucked into working for free indefinitely. But you might want to supplement yourself. You know, if you have a part-time waitress job or you're working part-time retail job that you don't, you know, it's not your long-term career choice, an internship, even if it's unpaid for a short time, is something that could help you invest for your future.
Okay, well, that was those were the skeptical voices, but we did have one person who wanted some practical advice. Beth, Anna from Detroit emailed us. I found your story very interesting. Since I'm trying to change my career, I think this would be a great way to get some experience in another field. However, you didn't mention how to go about finding an internship opportunity. Can you provide some starting points?
There are five basic ways. There are trade associations. There's a great website, Weddells.com, that lists associations that you can look at that will offer them. There are job search sites, Vault.com, CareerBuilder.com. Even Craigslist offers them. Nonprofits. There are companies with histories of adult internships like WowOwWow.com. And then college and alumni associations are a great place to look. And we're going to put all this on the Takeaway website so people can get more information.
That is at thetakeaway.org. You can also reach us at 8778-MY. Take. Thanks, Beth Kobliner, our Takeaway contributor.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.